desire and interest in your prayers today. I've written on the board, but if not. Last Sunday, we spoke on the subject of faith and the truth about godly faith, that faith is a condition of the heart. We read out of the third chapter of Daniel the story of Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew children, where they said when the whole company of people were basically commanded to bow down before the golden image, the three Hebrew children stood firm and they said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. We're not going to bow down to something that is outside of the God that we serve." And we also read out of the 15th chapter of Genesis in the 6th verse, where it said that Abraham believed in the Lord. And I'd like us to remember that was the focal point of the reason that righteousness was accounted unto Abraham. It wasn't because Abraham believed in the power of the acceptance of the people, or that he believed in the power of living according to the consensus of his peers or those that he loved in this life. But it said that he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And we recalled how that after Jesus described the great love of his Father, and how that God is so ready to receive all that come to him with an open heart to receive, how that God wouldn't turn away anyone that comes to him like that. But after the Lord said that, he said a very sobering thing. He said, "Nevertheless, even though this is true, will I find faith when I return? Will I still find a people that are living with godly faith? Will I still find a people that live according to truth? Will I still find a people that are willing to not bow to anything except the Lord God in heaven?" Sobering, isn't it? We also reflected on the fact that godly faith is not, it's not determined as present and in our lives simply by adopting expected lifestyles and actions, particularly by other people. That there's more to it than that. But that God is looking for a people that have a faith that is born from a desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship where we seek to hear His voice, relationship that is alive. A relationship where we want to follow the Lord above all else. Where we depend on hearing His voice that says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." That we value it above everything else, and that we live our lives where we say, "Lord God in heaven, what would Thou have me to do?" And then when we have from our hearts sought the Lord and given ourselves to understand what doth say the word of the Lord, and with honesty of heart and life done everything that we know to believe in the Lord, that we would be at peace in our faith in Jesus Christ. That we be at peace in our faith with Jesus Christ, regardless of what everybody else may say or do. That we have given ourselves to have a relationship that is alive with Jesus Christ. We're following Him to all that we know. We seek to understand His Word. And that when we do all of that, we allow that to be our peace. The young Hebrew boys were threatened with their life. We won't read it again. They were threatened with death by fire, actually, if they refused to bow to a golden image that was created by man. If they refused to bow to the expectation of men while choosing to bow only to God above. And their response was, when they were called before the king and said, "Did you not understand the consequences of not following after the edict? Did you not understand that you'll be thrown into this furnace?" And they said, "O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter." And it didn't mean that they were being haphazard with their response. It wasn't that the three Hebrew children were being disrespectful to an authority. But what it meant was that their minds and their faith was settled. And while they believed that God was able to deliver them in this temporal thing, they added this part: But if not, be it known unto you this day, we're not going to bow. We're not going there. But if not, and I'd like to consider those three words, "but if not," for just a few minutes this morning. And I'm very burdened to make this initial point about those three words and ask for your attention and your consideration of this even after the service is over. Their declaration to the king that we will not bow to what you set up, and that our God is able to deliver us, and then further speaking from their heart when they told the king, but if not, we want you to know. Those statements that they made with their mouths and with their lives was not born out of carnal stubbornness. What they said that day was not about trying to prove something to those that were on the sidelines watching. Didn't have anything to do with themselves, per se, or to prove to their peer group that this man over here is not going to get me to do this. Follow what I'm saying? They were not holding truth in unrighteousness. And it was not about a self-constructed, by the help of God, get a hold of this. It was not about a self-constructed high moral standard that they were going to hold to, that was more about themselves than it was about humbly serving their God. Did you know that as people, we can be tempted to feel spiritually justified and righteous by declaring to others, "You will not get me to move off of this point. You will not get me to change my position." We can feel spiritually justified when we say those sorts of things to other people, particularly when it's tied to something religious in nature. But brothers and sisters, if the reason for saying what we say and the reason for living as we live is not born of God and His Spirit and His leadings, we missed it. We missed it. And not only that, but we serve as a poor example for others that are following us and are watching. And there's scripture to back up what I'm saying. One, for instance, says, "Though I give my body to be burned." Seems like an applicable scripture given the story of the three Hebrew children. Though I am willing to do that and will not move off whatever it is that is going to cause that kind of persecution or sacrifice or trouble to come my way, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It didn't even say it profiteth me little. The verse says it profiteth me nothing. If I live my life
and take action and adopt a lifestyle that causes me personal sacrifice that I can link to something that is righteous. But my reasons for doing so are not born and inspired and given and supported by the Spirit of Christ. We missed it. It profiteth me nothing. Not a challenge? The three Hebrew children had purpose and determination that was rooted in glorifying God and being dependable servants that would not be moved, and they had a right spirit within them. That's the reason why they were at the place they were in the kingdom in the first place, was because of the right spirit that was within them. And they were standing on solid ground. So much so that their works and the decisions that they made resulted in the form, a fourth form, the likeness of which had the image of the Son of God walking with them in the fire. And I want to say this morning that in the midst of any sacrifice that I personally may make in life for Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and put it that way, I want other people to be able to see Jesus with me. And not just me in the fire, because I wouldn't do something. You see what I'm saying? There's people that have given themselves, even their bodies. But there was a spirit about them that wasn't right. And others can look on and see them in the midst of great sacrifice, and look on it and they see them. In this case, they looked into the fire and they saw them walking around unharmed, but they saw them with somebody else. They saw them with Jesus. They saw Jesus with them. Above all things, I want to live so that other people can see Jesus with whatever decisions I make in life. And I haven't always done that. And sometimes I fail and have to ask for forgiveness. And have to ask the Lord to help me that I don't seek my own, but that I have the love of Christ in my life in all things. They were willing to keep the faith regardless of what came, that God and not man would be glorified. And just as Jesus said, "Not my will, Father, but thine be done," they said, "But if not, but if not, we're not going to bow." What a beautiful example that is for us to follow. And may God help us live our lives so that we can have a testimony from our hearts. But if not, but I wonder this morning if sometimes that there are elements of our faith in our lives where we are saying not, but if not,
But perhaps we're saying, but only if. Have you ever been there? Said another way, I'll trust in God and I'll believe and I'll have faith. But only if. Only if my prayers are answered in a way that I feel like they should be answered. My faith and my trust in the Lord will be strong, but only if I understand and I'm able to see and comprehend those things that are happening in front of me in a way that satisfies me. My faith will be strong. And my trust will be on solid ground, but only if it works out in a way that is pleasing to me in this life. Did you know that we as Christians don't say that out loud? Most of us. I don't pray and tell the Lord, Lord, I'll trust you, but only if you do this. Maybe some people that do that, but my guess is that most of us here today don't do that. We don't say those words out loud. Did you know that we are human beings and we are tempted? That when we don't understand and when our prayers are not answered as in a way that we think our prayers should be answered, and when things don't turn out in a way that's pleasing for us and it seems like we're hitting one thing after another, if we are not very careful, our faith and our trust begins to take a hit. And we can say, but only if. And then if things don't turn out as we think they ought, then we carry with us the weight of uncertainty regarding the reality of God and His faithfulness. May the Lord open our eyes and increase our faith. We can live with faith regardless and trust. I'd like to read this morning out of the third chapter of Habakkuk. And the 17th verse, Habakkuk 3 and 17, says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Folks, this passage is not speaking of a situation where the writer is looking out on the world and he's saying, you see, even in the midst of sin, even if it looks like that there are people that are saying wrong is right and right is wrong and bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter, all of that that's going on today, he's not saying, even though there may be sin that's abounding in moral decay that is beyond what I ever imagined, I'll still rejoice in you, Lord. And that would be a testimony in of itself. But to me, this verse gets even closer than that. This verse is speaking of things that were meant for good. Though the vines that from the inception were intended to bring forth fruit. I did it to labored into the planting things. Vines that they bring forth fruit and the olive tree, the labor that went into it, the sun and the water and the time and all that the olive tree went through. It was supposed to turn into something for good, but it didn't. And there was a flock over here, and there was time spent building this fold for the flock, and I did everything that I knew to do to build a safe place for the flock, and I labored for the people around me and my family and my children and those that I work with and situations, and I tried to do what was right, Lord, to create a space, and yet, even though it was all meant for good, they were cut off from it, and there was labor put into building a stall for the herd, and yet something happened, and the herd and the stalls, they never could meet, and I don't understand it, because I know all this other is going on out here that isn't right, but Lord, there's these other things that I tried to do for right, and yet it looks like that it was all in vain. It looks like there's no good coming from the things and from the investments that were intended to be for good, even for those that are good and not sinful. Fruit is good. The vines are good. Herds are good. The stalls are good. The flock is good. The fold is good. It's not like one's good and one's bad, so there's a separation. It looked like it was all supposed to be and meant for good. You see what I'm saying? See what the verse is saying? But it didn't turn out. Yet. Nevertheless, I will rejoice in the Lord, even though. But if it doesn't turn out for good, I will still rejoice and trust in the God of my salvation. And there will come a time when He will make my feet like hinds' feet, deer in high places. The Lord God will help us rise above the disappointment of those things that perhaps to our eyes we feel like didn't prosper. Did you know there's a lot more prosper that happens than what we can see with our eyes? Sometimes it looks like the flock has been forever cut off from the fold. And sometimes it looks like the olive tree will never bear olives. And sometimes it looks like the vine's never going to bring forth fruit. And it may be that the Lord has just extended His hand to put a stay on it until the time is right for the olives to come forth, to bring forth the flock with the fold, and the herd with the stalls. And the Lord asks us to trust, to have the testimony of, yet I will rejoice. The reality is, folks, that in life, we are going to face things that cross our will and our understanding and our flesh and our expectation of good. We may be afflicted in ways that we don't understand, and it may seem like our prayers aren't being answered. We may go through times where we feel alone. One of the worst things to experience is feeling alone. We might feel alone. We might feel rejected. We might feel separated from the masses, as the three Hebrew children did. There are times that we will feel called upon to make great sacrifice as a result of following Jesus, when maybe we don't see the fruit of our labor in sacrifice that is great. And I'm not speaking of I had a hard week as a result of following Jesus. I'm not speaking of so-and-so didn't treat me right. I'm talking about life-changing sacrifice that all of us will come face-to-face with at some point in our life if you follow Jesus for very long. And there will be times when it doesn't turn out like we think it should turn out or was going to turn out. And when that happens, perhaps after we have asked the Lord, Lord, would you remove this mountain? Lord, would you help in this time of need? The question will become, are we willing to pray from our heart and say, but Lord, if not? It doesn't come to pass in this way. I am still going to trust and I'm still going to press on. And Lord, if you ask me to do that that makes no sense to me, I will, like Peter said when they were asked to do something that seemed to make no earthly sense at all. Peter said, nevertheless, we'll do it. And so this morning, regarding the battles that you may be in life today, as you sit here this morning, are you willing to say, but if not? Are you willing to say, nevertheless? Are you willing to say from your heart, yet I will rejoice in the Lord? Not my will, but thine be done. In a time that is so focused on justifying actions that satisfy me, in a time where there is so much that is such a strong push for the individual to do whatever it is that satisfies them, in a time where we are so accustomed to getting answers and results with the push of a button, and in a time when the enemy of our soul is working overtime to depress and oppress people, the Lord God in heaven is still on His throne with His eyes searching to and fro across the face of the whole earth for those whose heart is perfect towards Him. For those that are willing to seek the voice of Jesus. For those that are willing to follow regardless of the consequence. To those that are willing to seek a relationship that transcends the acceptance of the masses. The Lord's eyes are searching to see if there will be anybody that will continue to say, Lord, here am I, count me in. Are we willing to be numbered today with a testimony of, but if not, be it known unto you this day that we're going to keep pressing on? To all of us today that are here, I want you to know that the Lord is worthy to be served. He is worthy of your love.
He is worthy of all of your trust. He is worthy to give all to Him regardless of what we may feel or what position we may find ourselves as a result of following Christ. He is worthy of it. And let's be of the number today that are willing to walk through the fire, to walk through the deep waters, to press through those places of darkness, accompanied by the haze of uncertainty, pressing on to serve Jesus above all things, because it's in those places that often, if not then, when we get through them, we are able to turn and look and see the image of that fourth man likened unto the Son of God that walked with us through those times as a faithful, gentle, loving shepherd. This morning, my desire is to live and to die with the testimony, Lord, but if not, count me in. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.